access to the Chinook Book app, plus freebies from Laughing Planet, gluten-free jam, Wii Press, and Nosa Familia coffee. You can contribute right now at kboo.fm/give
or call 503-231-8032.
Support KBOO,
where music makes the movement.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Brew for the SLU, Columbia SLU Watershed Council Give Guide Party on Thursday, December 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub in Portland. This event features food, drink, live music, fortune-telling, and more. The Columbia SLU Watershed Council works to clean up the Columbia SLU. They teach environmental education in schools, engage volunteers to plant trees, and nature festivals. Again, that's Brew for the SLU, Columbia SLU Watershed Council Give Guide Party on Thursday, December 13th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub, 1036 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma Lugo and I'm co-host for Prison Pipeline. Tonight we're here over the phone with Gregory Joseph of the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. Gregory, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Emma. It's great to be here.
Thank you. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty? Tell us about its mission and its function.
Absolutely. NCADP, the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, has been around for 42 years now. We operate in all 50 states with affiliates across the country with an explicit mission to lead campaigns, whether through legislative campaigns, activism campaigns, to abolish the death penalty in the United States, and also to support efforts to abolish the death penalty worldwide. We provide technical assistance to capital defense teams that are working in the court systems to help reduce the death penalty, whether through cases and abolishing, whether through court cases and supporting capital punishment teams that are defending people in an effort to limit the death penalty, and of course I hope that courts rule or reverse death penalty sentences. And we also educate and mobilize communities and our activists across the country, whether it's to support legislation to stand up against or for and against death penalty repeal bills or support bills, and really try to provide education to a large group of people about the systemic flaws within the death penalty system and really get people to use their voice to prevent executions and to advocate for anti-death penalty legislation.
So some people might think that the death penalty is a fair form of punishment. They might think that a life for a life is fair. But as you mentioned in your statement, there are deep and systemic flaws within the administration of the death penalty, whether or not it's even just, which we'll get into in a minute. Can you talk about some of the flaws in the death penalty as it's administered in the United States?
Well, I think fairness is one of the flaws. The lack of fundamental fairness in the death penalty system in the United States, as we know it, is one of the huge flaws. The death penalty is also riddled with a bunch of different errors, whether it is racial bias. There is a strong preponderance of individuals, people of color, who were sentenced to death more than other people who are not of color. We also see bias with regard to people with low financial and economic means, people who have public defenders or people or lawyers who are not well versed in capital punishment and capital punishment trials tend to receive capital punishment more than people who can pay for a worthy defense. I mean, it, for lack of a better example, just think of the O.J. Simpson trial, and you think of an African American who was poor would not be able to put on that kind of defense, as opposed to someone who had the means to hire a litany of lawyers like O.J. did. We also see that the death penalty is expensive, and as state governments are cutting budgets in places where you can actually address and solve some of the roots of crime, whether through economic opportunities or education, we find that the people who are spending more money to put people to death as opposed to saving money and incarcerating people for life. And lastly, I would say that what we see with the death penalty in terms of being one of the fundamental flaws with the death penalty is that it is not a deterrent to crime. And I think that's what a lot of the people who support the death penalty believe, that the death penalty is something that prevents people from committing murder. And we haven't seen that in any incidents. In fact, the states that still have a very strong death penalty have higher murder rates as opposed to states that don't have the death penalty. So when you think about the reason for the death penalty, people think that it deters people from committing crimes. We don't see that evidence in any way, shape, or form.
Let's talk about the numbers for a minute. Do you know roughly how many states administer the death penalty?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Just a rough number.
So there are currently, I'm gonna tell you this right now. Just give me one quick second.
No problem.
There are currently 30 states with the death penalty. There are 20 states without the death penalty that have been abolished or overturned. We have 3 states that are currently with a gubernatorial moratoria, one of them including being Oregon.
Yes, that's correct.
And so most recently, your neighbor in Washington State, the Supreme Court of Washington State, ruled the death penalty unconstitutional, abolished it in Washington in October. So we've had one more state kind of join the ranks of states without the death penalty. And as recently as 2013, we had Maryland. In 2007, we had New Jersey. In 2009, we had New Mexico. So we've had a steady stream of states in the last 10 years that have been abolishing the death penalty. And there are 3 states, like I said, that have a gubernatorial moratorium, Colorado, which was instituted in 2013, Pennsylvania in 2015, and again, Oregon in 2011.
What does it take for a state to abolish the death penalty procedurally?
Well, there could be a few avenues. It could be ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court of those states, depending on what issues are raised through the courts, whether in Washington, for instance, the court ruled that the death penalty, as they had it written and how it was applied, was racially biased. So the Supreme Court abolished the death penalty. It also could be abolished through legislation. Any state senator or state representative or even governor can introduce a bill in the state legislature to effectively abolish the death penalty and commute all the sentences, all the current death penalty sentences, life in prison. And so that's another way. An unofficial way of abolishing the death penalty is also having prosecutors not actually seek the death penalty, but actually find different ways of punishment that are actually more effective to addressing the root causes of crime. But through the courts and through the legislature are the two main ways that it can happen. With the legislature obviously being the one where the people can get involved, as opposed to the courts where it's more of a case system. But if there's a bill that's being introduced somewhere, obviously that can be, people can voice their support for that legislation. And also, one last, a governor does have the power to place a moratorium on the death penalty if they find that the death penalty in their state is flawed or fundamentally unfair, as if it happened in Pennsylvania, Colorado, and Oregon.
What states are the worst abusers of the death penalty?
Texas? Well, I mean, you know, every state that uses the death penalty is an abuser, because the system in itself is abuse. But we would say that probably the state of Texas is very active, has a very active death penalty. In fact, tomorrow, December 4th, the state of Texas has a scheduled execution of a man named Joseph Garcia, who has been sentenced to death under a law called the Law of Parties. And the Law of Parties is a very interesting law, because it allows for the imposition of the death penalty for someone who was not convicted of murder. If you can wrap your mind around that, we actually execute people in this country who have not been convicted of murdering someone. And Joseph Garcia is going to the gas chamber tomorrow, or the lethal injection tomorrow, if the governor of Texas does not stand up and commute his sentence. And I would love for anyone who is listening on the line today to make their voice heard in Joseph Garcia's case by calling the governor, Greg Abbott in Texas. His number is area code 512-463-2000, and just please leave a message saying to stop the execution of Joseph Garcia. That's 512-463-2000. So Texas is definitely by far one of the more active death penalties, but Tennessee is also very active, and there's another execution scheduled for December 6th in Tennessee, a gentleman by the name of David Earl Miller. And if anyone is interested in speaking out in Mr. Miller's case and on his behalf, please call Tennessee Governor Dennis Duger at area code 615-741-2000. That's area code 615-741-2000, and tell him to stop the execution.
Yes. The reason that I had you on the program today was because I was just in Tennessee over the holidays. I moved here from Tennessee, and we were at a memorial for an activist colleague friend of ours, and we had two friends at this memorial who had flown in from London, and they had been visiting Mr. Miller for the last 25 years. And I've been away from Tennessee for so long that I forgot that, number one, I forgot that Tennessee still executed people, and number two, I forgot that Tennessee has been ramping up executions in the past year. So I talked to the activists, and they said that Mr. Miller has been on death row for 37 years. He's 61 now, and he committed his crime when he was 24. So he's been on death row longer than he was alive when he committed the crime. They told me a little bit about his case. They've been visiting him every year for the past 24 years, and this year they came to say goodbye to him. He actually asked them not to attend his execution because he didn't want them to witness his execution, which hopefully will be deferred. But they said that he suffers from mental illness and also from traumatic childhood abuse. And I was just so shocked and saddened to learn that a state that I love and that I lived in for a good part of my life is resumed executions. I'm wondering, are other states in the South like ramping up executions? Is this part of some kind of like increase in the activity of right-wing politicians who are trying to gain political points? Why is there this increase in Tennessee, and is it also happening in other states?
That's a very good question. I mean, with regards to a lot of the states that have been holding executions, we've seen in Ohio, for instance, the outgoing governor, who's currently the governor but is term limited out, John Kasich, has commuted the sentence of all the executions, all the scheduled executions that were under his watch, the last three, knowing that he's had some strong reservations with regards to the death penalty and how it conflicts with his personal views. And so he's commuted the sentences, the death sentences of the last three individuals on death row. you know, it would behoove me to say that it seems as if it's not necessarily a political party that is kind of bringing back the death penalty as so much as it is just after the moratoriums that were placed after a lot of the lethal injection protocols in each state were kind of called into question, and some of the lethal injection drugs were being short supplied by the manufacturers because they didn't want their drugs being used for death penalty purposes, that other states kind of had to rethink how they were going to execute people. And as they've drawn up new protocols, and Mr. Miller, for instance, is going to the electric chair. That's something we still do.
Use the firing squad too.
Yeah, so like after the moratorium was kind of lifted, the death penalty kind of got back set in motion. So it's not necessarily Republicans being back in charge. It is pretty much, you know, the order of business in these states, Virginia, Florida, Tennessee. It doesn't get the same amount of coverage as we would expect it to do, but, you know, these states routinely do execute people. There was an execution early this year of Edmund Zorsky in Tennessee, just a few weeks ago. So, it happens more often than I think we know about. It's not necessarily ramping up. It's pretty much, you know, the order of business.
I just can't believe that we're still executing people in the electric chair. It's so barbaric.
Well, I mean, I can't believe we're still executing people, period. And the
exactly.
method of which we do it is pretty a secondary question. But the fact that we're still doing, I mean, you take Mr. Miller's case, and as you said, like, he's been on death row longer than he has been longer than he had been alive at the time that he had committed the crime. And this is a man who, who grew up in an abusive home, who has documented mental health issues that were never addressed by the system, by the government of Tennessee. And he's being held accountable. He's being held accountable to his life for a crime that he committed in his 20s, and now he's in his 60s. And executing him does not do anything. It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't prevent any murders. It doesn't prevent any crimes. It is just purely just retribution and revenge by the state of Tennessee. And it doesn't serve anyone to kill him, and especially the method in which they're killing him, to go above and beyond just to be able to execute someone in the electric chair, or whether it's lethal injection, or whether it's firing squad, or whether it's any of the ways that they execute people. Nothing is solved by executing Mr. Miller. There was no closure for the family. There was no, he has served a sentence of over 30 years in prison on death row. How is that not cruel and unusual punishment to be sitting on death row for over 30 years, knowing at some point you're going to die? How is that not cruel and unusual? How are we not taking into consideration his mental state, his upbringing? I mean, this is a man who was born addicted to alcohol, that he's had numerous suicide attempts when he was 6 years old. He has been in reform schools, and he's been mentally ill. He has been sexually abused by relatives and by social workers, and we're holding him accountable with his life for a mistake that he made, and we're not taking away from his crime, and we're not giving him absolution for the crime, but the punishment is taking his life. And who is the state of Tennessee to say that they have the power to take someone's life?
Exactly. Getting back to kind of more our part of the country, I know that another place that has a death sentence, but it's not actively utilized right now, is the state of California. My understanding is that California has over 900 people on death row in San Quentin. What is the status of the death penalty in California, and is there any effort at relief of those people who are on death row? Is there any chance that the current governor or maybe some future governor might commute those sentences, or there might be movement within the state of California to change that system?
Well, the state of California just elected a new governor in November. The Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who's the former mayor of San Francisco, will be taking over the governor's mansion from Jerry Brown in January. And so there's an opportunity to see exactly where Mr. Newsom wants to do with regard to the state's death penalty. You know, he has been historically a very progressive and a very forward-thinking legislator back when he was the mayor of San Francisco and as lieutenant governor. And I believe that there are activists across the state of California who are looking at this with some renewed optimism. But also in November, there was some really good news in California because local voters in Orange County replaced a district attorney who had been pretty much a supporter of the death penalty. As of January 2013, Orange County had the seventh largest death row of any county in the United States. And so the district attorney is the person who actually calls for the death penalty in these incidences. So the fact that he was voted out of office is a good forward step for death penalty abolitionists, because the new incoming district attorney has not embraced and does not embrace the death penalty as the old one. So perhaps we'll see fewer death sentences coming out of Orange County, which would be a very good boon since it has imposed the fourth most death sentences of any county in the country. So that's a pretty big win for the abolitionist community.
I think with
Mr. Newsom coming into office, there can be some renewed talk to revisit some of the death sentences and maybe look for some commutations or maybe even be an opportunity to move a repeal bill.
So your organization, the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, is the leading national organization on strategizing against the death penalty. Can you tell me what is the long-term strategy for trying to abolish the death penalty in the United States? Is it a state-by-state strategy? Is there a federal strategy? And what's the long-term thinking?
Well, the long-term thinking kind of goes on multi-tracks. I mean, obviously, one track is through the courts and trying to abolish the death penalty or limit death sentences through various court cases, to which the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty provides technical and financial assistance to capital cases and lawyers who are handling those cases. We also work deeply within the states because we see the state movements in the states being really prime for repeals. So with the advent of the results of the midterm elections just coming in recently, we see some states that there's a possibility that there can be some repeal bills that have come in. As I mentioned before, Pennsylvania has a moratorium on executions. The governor who instituted that moratorium was reelected very, very positively with 57% of the vote. So maybe there's an opportunity to move a repeal bill through Pennsylvania. In Oregon, your incumbent, Kate Brown, was reelected, and they have continued the state's death penalty moratorium that was instituted under the past Governor Kitzhaber. So she's back in office, and there's a possibility that they may not be able to move some sort of a repeal bill. And Colorado has incoming Governor Jared Polis, who actually campaigned on repeal of the death penalty in Colorado. He won with 51% of the vote, and the Colorado legislature is now controlled by Democrats in both houses, so there's a possibility, a strong likelihood, that legislation to abolish the death penalty be considered in the upcoming 2019 legislative session. So there are some states that are really in the market and in positioning to really make some effective kind of repeal bills, and even not being able to pass a repeal bill, but to get the conversation started again and to get an honest dialogue about the death penalty so we can examine all of these flaws that we talked about in the early part of the program and really get people to talk about it. Because once the death penalty is examined, once we talk about it honestly, we win, because the facts and the details are on our side. They're not on the side of pro-death penalty people because they have nothing to point to. It's not a deterrent to crime. It is racially biased. It is arbitrary. It is not fair. And there's nothing you can point to from the pro-death penalty side that says that we should be able to continue this system. So we see some good movement in the states. With regards to a federal You know, again, I think once again, with the incoming Democratic Congress in the House of Representatives, it opens up the opportunity for at least a dialogue on the repeal of the death penalty from a federal level. I don't think that with the way that the federal Senate is made up, and obviously with the White House, that would be something that would happen from a repeal bill. But again, the more conversations that we have, the more that the real facts are put into the debate, the better the abolition movement looks. And so there's a possibility that there could be a hearing on a piece of legislation that abolishes or cuts or narrows the death penalty that could actually put those facts into play and more people. And the way that we operate is simple. We try to have this conversation, the conversation that you and I are having, the conversation that you had with your friends in Tennessee back home, with people in the United States. We want to get people educated on the facts of the death penalty. We want to get them motivated to act, and we want to find ways that they can use their voice to help abolish the death penalty. So we do that through a litany of ways, but that is the long-term strategy, is to continue this dialogue, to enlist supporters, to enlist allies, to work with other organizations and groups from a larger criminal justice and civil rights and human rights perspective, and really start moving that dialogue and start moving legislation across the states and getting people actively involved.
And legislatively, here in Oregon, we have a Democratic governor, and we have Democratic supermajorities in both the House and the Senate. So there's a potential that in Oregon we could abolish the death penalty with a popular movement that supported it. I think that
absolutely.
I think that it's a value that Oregonians really care about. I don't know what organizing is happening right now around the death penalty here in Oregon, and I'm going to look into that for another show. But your comments remind me that Oregon is actually in a really good place right now, probably the best place that's ever been, with supermajorities in both the House and the Senate and the governor's office to just end the death penalty. It's not practiced in Oregon. Most Oregonians, I think, would be shocked to know that it even exists as a possibility here. But we have the possibility to completely remove it from our legal code.
Well, I think that is absolutely correct. I think that the ground is definitely fertile for movement in the state of Oregon, and I think that your governor, Governor Brown, has definitely continued the anti-death penalty stance that was created by Kitzhaber. And I just wanted to let you know that there is we have an event coming up in Salem, Oregon, on January 15th, that a very good film is going to be screened in Salem, Oregon, called In the Executioner's Shadow. And you can go to the In the Executioner's Shadow website at intheexecutionershadow.com and find out the location. But they're working, the filmmakers are two professors out of American University, and they're going to be working with our affiliate Oregonians against the death penalty to organize some screenings of this movie. So if you're in the Salem area, take a look at the website to find out when and where that screening is going to be going, because it's a really great movie, and it really kind of opens up a level of dialogue that could start people start talking about whether or not the death penalty needs to be a part of the legislative process in Oregon.
Thank you. That's In the Executioner's Shadow, and that's going to be January 15th in Salem. And there's a website called In the Executioner's Shadow, where you can find out more information about that screening.
That is correct.
Thank you. Yes. And if people want to find out more about the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, how can they contact you?
You can always find us at www.ncadp.org, the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. And I always encourage people to follow us on social media, where we have a conversation going daily on Twitter at ncadp.org. at Twitter at NCADP and on Facebook at National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. We're actively trying to get people to call the governor of Texas and the governor of Tennessee to ask them to stop these executions, one slated for tomorrow, the other one for December 6th. And you can find execution alerts on our Facebook page and on our website. And we also have a webinar series that we've been conducting for the past year where we're talking about a wide range of death penalty issues and criminal justice issues. And you can find past webinars and invites to our next December webinar on YouTube at NCADP Webinar Series. And you can go check out some of the past webinars we've done and share those with your network. But, you know, there's a million and one ways you can get involved in our fight. But, yeah, go to our website, go to our Twitter page and follow and like and start a dialogue.
Thank you. We've been talking to Gregory Joseph tonight with the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm Emma, co-host, and we'll see you next week. Thank you, Gregory, and have a good evening.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Shine With Q 15 years on Sunday, December 9th at 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Marriott downtown in Portland. Shine is the annual brunch and fundraiser for the Q Center, a place of resilience, strength, and love. This year marks 15 years since Q Center began serving the community. At Shine, there will be a cabaret, brunch, and honoring of Q Center heroes. Again, that's Shine with Q 15 years on Sunday, December 9th at 10:30 a.m. at the Portland Marriott, 1401 Southwest NATO Parkway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm.